blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear, and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 49.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, and thereof the 8th chapter, the first 25 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to whom they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal and long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, who art King over this whole universe, and yet thou dost permit that Satan would be the prince of this world, and when thou hast sent forth thy Holy Spirit, then he is on the right and he is on the left, wherever that word does go forth. Thou will bring men from all nations to bow before thee. Thou will bring in thy kingdom and thy remnant from over the entire world, so that they shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And we with our children are privileged to live in that time wherein thy Spirit does go forth more than any time in the history of this world, in the end times, in the end days, which also will come to their end. And when we read in thy word, then we hear that that prince of darkness shall receive more liberty, for he is chained, for he can not overcome thy church and thy doctrine, thy truth, thy gospel. But he can do much to bruise thy heel, thy church, over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, thou dost use it for the good of thy church, to bring in thy kingdom, to instruct thy people in the way of righteousness. And yet thou knowest where each of them are, then they need to be upheld also by thee in their individual places, or that thou may increase faith among thy true people, as thy disciples did beseech of thee. And thou didst say unto them, if thou hadst faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye should say to this sycamore tree, be removed unto yonder place. O Lord, that thou may grant unto thy church more instruction, for thou knowest all their ignorance, than they desire to know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and yet thou art so hidden unto thy people. O that thou may reveal thyself more and more, that thou may open more and more the wretchedness, the sin that still lies within them, that they may abhor themselves, smiting upon their breast. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, that they may receive justification by thee within their hearts, or that they may receive a close life to thee, the blessed life of sanctification, wherein they may be separated more and more from the ways of sin, that vanity and carnality may become more and more a burden, that they may be prepared in their hearts with great desires to be delivered from the bondage that is here below, that they may groan with thy creatures, and that thou may deliver them, and that thou may bring them to be with thee where thou art, for that is thy desire. Thou hast asked it of thy Father, O Lord, then thy children, they must wait thy time, but that thou may give more also over the length and breadth of this whole world, that thou may look upon our own denomination thou hast given, that we may gather as a curatorium In the week that is gone by, although some could not gather with us in a physical way, Lord, that Thou Thyself would remove those obstacles, and that Thou mayest remember us as a denomination, that Thy servants may be given the freedom to go here and there to bring Thy word over the length and the breadth of this world, and that Thy kingdom may come also among on the mission field where Thy servants do labor, and their helpers, that Thou mayest remember them. Look upon the student that does go forth from Sabbath to Sabbath, but also the candidate now who may begin to receive the calls from the congregations, O Lord. And then he needs direction from above. O keep him from going in his own way, and that Thou would show him Thy way, and that he may receive a willing heart, and his wife and children to follow him, and that Thou Thyself mayest give him a place amongst the congregations to labor, and that Thou mayest bless the labors of all the hands of Thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Look upon those who must gather in places of persecution, where Satan also in an outward way would stand in the way of the bringing in of Thy church. But that Thou mayest give them courage, that Thou mayest give them strength and Thy spirit and wisdom to be as serpents in harmlessness as doves. But that serpent from below, from beneath, does labor all over this world, also in the midst of all the churches, to close the eyes and to blind the minds of men, that there would be a desire only after all that is vain and carnal and passing away. But Thou art stronger than he, O Lord, and Thy word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Oh, shall Satan have the victory over Thy spirit, Lord, that Thou may remember us also as a congregation, that Thou mayest give many to be brought into that kingdom by a true heartfelt repentance, that Thy word may be used to that end, and the labors of us as a consistory also, that Thou mayest bless the work of our hands, and that Thou mayest give in our midst profit unto Thy children, to Thy own church. Do look upon all those that mourn. Thou knowest each and every one in their place. Look upon our father-in-law when he is now left alone, that Thou mayest give him strength, but that Thou mayest also visit him and reveal Thyself unto his soul, for Thou knowest all his need and all his desire, and all those that are alone, and those that have to miss their loved ones, Lord, that Thou mayest supply for them in all of their need. And wilt Thou teach us all the seriousness of our life, that we may learn to hasten for our life's sake. Remember all the handicapped, all those that suffer from serious diseases, those that receive treatments for the body. And wilt Thou bless the means her that had surgery? And wilt Thou recover her in her body? And wilt Thou sanctify the callings? For they are many around about us. Oh, that Thou may bring them also within us, that we might know that we are a dying creature, and that we are actually dead creatures, dead in sins and in trespasses, that we might learn to look and to cry and to seek for that life that is enduring for a never-ending eternity. Remember us then, O Lord, we may acknowledge Thee for the rain that Thou hast poured upon the earth in the week gone by. O Lord, we have asked it of Thee. Thou knowest the sighs that have gone up unto Thee, that thou mayest also give us humble and thankful hearts, and wilt thou grant an undeserved blessing to us and our children, and wilt thou teach us the tender fear of thy name, who art so good unto a sinful people. Help thou us in this hour. Give us freedom, give us liberty, and that thou may give all things to be done decently and in good order, that there may be clarity in speaking, but that there also may be power from above, which we have not from ourselves, O Lord, that is thy work. Wilt thou bring it into the hearts of young and old together, and that this hour may be an hour of thy good pleasure, to bring sinners out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light, to the opening of the blind eyes, and to the touching of the hard and dead hearts. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 138, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And thus speaks the Lord to wicked men, "My statutes why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth, since ye for wisdom do not care? For ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain." 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 138. beloved congregation, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Why did he write this? Did not the Corinthians believe the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ? To examine is to make proof by a trial. What happens in a trial, young people? In a trial, there is an examination, and there are witnesses brought in. There is cross-examination, many questions. In a trial, the lie is exposed. In a trial, the truth is revealed. Paul says to the Corinthians that they must bring faith to a trial. Why? Because there are different kinds of faith. Because not all faith is saving faith. Because there is historical faith. Because there is temporary faith. There is miraculous faith. And there are many that are deceiving themselves with these kinds of faith, mistaking them for a true saving faith. Therefore, the apostle says, bring that faith unto a trial. The Lord makes his people honest. Did the Lord ever make you honest? Then there is one thing that they fear, and that is that it would not be true with them, that it is something I have begun and not the Lord, that it will not stand the trial in that great day. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Is that the request of our heart? Because if it is not, then there is something wrong. And you know what the devil says, young people? The devil, he isn't roaring lion. Yes, he is also an angel of light. And then he tries to bring God's word even, but always in a deceptive way. And you hear that so much today. Oh, you must not question yourself. Because if you question yourself, then you are doubting. And that doubt is sinful. Is that right? That is not right. That is to make a man to presume, to make a man to build upon a sandy foundation. And the Lord Jesus warns of this. And we see also the necessity of that self-examination in the portion of our text for this afternoon, which you can find in the portion read to you, Acts 8. And thereof, the verses 18 through 24. Where we read of self-deceit exposed. In our first thought, a revealing request in verses 18 and 19. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Thus, a revealing request. Second, a solemn denunciation in verses 20 and 21. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. A solemn denunciation. Third, an earnest admonition, 22 through 24. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. An earnest admonition, self-deceit exposed, a revealing request, a solemn denunciation, and an earnest admonition. Pentecost congregation was a day in which the Spirit of the Lord was poured out in that city of Jerusalem in a very special, in a very abundant way. But when that Spirit of the Lord will go forth in the application of the merits of Jesus Christ, then you can be sure that Satan, he will be there also. Because that Spirit of the Lord will be a robber of hell. And Satan will oppose this. And Satan did indeed oppose it. He puts up a great fight. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. The fight, the warfare of Satan to preserve his own kingdom and to hinder the work of the Lord. Can he hinder it? No, because he does not realize that all that he does nothing more than propagate that word of God. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Thus, the Lord is wiser than the devil, and the word Lord is wiser than every man that is in this world. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. That is a great wonder, that there was this great joy in, it says, that city. Why that city? A great wonder. Because it was a city that was very especially under the power of the prince of darkness. That is what we read here. Why? Because there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. To him they all gave heed, it says, from the least unto the greatest of him. And that is, we read here, a long tradition, thus great and small, rich and poor, old and young, everyone is following this Simon. The entire population of this city is, as it were, under the spell of Satan, by witchcraft, by sorceries, that is, congregation in the permission of the Lord, because the Lord permits Satan to do wonders here upon this world that is no different today. You can hear that sometimes, people, young people, you can read about it. And that there are those who may deal in these satanic arts, they call them. And so there are miracles, they say, that are taking place. And they do things that human beings cannot do. That is a judgment of the Lord, that He permits such things to happen. We read when Pharaoh hardened his heart, that the Lord also hardened his heart. The Lord gave permission to those magicians to do miracles. Why? That Pharaoh would follow after those magicians of Egypt. Thus it is a judgment of the Lord when He is allowing Satan a certain amount of rope, a certain amount of power in this world, and that He allows him to deceive men here upon this world, because man desires himself to be deceived. And the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, he speaks about powers, he speaks about signs and lying wonders that the Lord is going to permit here in this world, in the end of time. Samaritans, they say, this man is the great power of God. Thus they regarded him as God himself, even as the Messiah. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries, all giving heed. A long tradition this has become among this Samaritan people. What a great deception of this city. I remember when I first began to go out among the congregations years ago, going in an airplane out of Newark Airport. And then you can see below you a great city. And across the river there, New York City. And then you see all those homes, all those people. And I thought to myself, how many of those homes have a Bible in them? And every one of those homes, they have a television in them. Who is now guiding all those persons? Oh, the multitudes and multitudes of people that are under that power of Satan. Then you feel so small, sitting in that airplane with your little Bible in your hand. And you are going to bring God's word to a little congregation somewhere, United States and Canada. And you see the greatness of the kingdom of the Prince of Darkness. You feel something of the power, and you say, then what can we do? What faith? Then Philip must have had. And when he goes down, we read, into this Samaria. He is going to preach in this city that has long time been bewitched. And by this Simon the sorcerer, this city where all the people, they regard this man as a God himself, then it takes much courage for the servant of the Lord. But Satan is a formidable enemy to us. He is not a formidable enemy to the Lord. And Philip, he is in the hands of the Lord himself. And so we read about the Spirit's power, the greater power of the Holy Spirit. How that he is breaking this spell in Samaria. We read that with one accord they are giving heed here to God's servant in Samaria, but when they believed Philip, that must have been a wonder to Philip, that they believed him, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Thus the unbelieving spirits, they have to depart. The sick and the lame, they are healed, they are cured by the power of the Spirit. And there is great joy, we read in that city. That is something. Great joy. What does the devil say to you? He says, if you are converted, then you will have nothing but sorrow. That is not true. Here you have it in the Word of God. These persons, they are converted by the Lord. And there is great joy in that city. Is there sorrow in the hearts of such persons? You know that. Then there is a godly sorrow, not to be repented of. And yet there is a joy in the hearts of these people, because that is what true repentance is bringing. The devil is a liar. He is a liar and he is the father of lies, the Lord Jesus says. But now something very remarkable takes place. And what is that? Then Simon himself believed. That is something. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. What a great blessing for those Samaritans. Simon himself. Or if Simon himself remained an enemy of the apostles of Christ, of that doctrine, then they have a warfare going on there in Samaria. What does the Lord do? He takes Simon himself. What a great blessing for those Samaritans. What a great blessing for the propagation of the word of the Lord, that it may go forth freely when the Lord is taking away the temptation, when the Lord is taking away that source of evil, when the Lord is giving free rein unto his word. Oh, we are so unbelieving. What the Lord is able to do also in the days in which we live. How that we see Satan's kingdom so great, and we think that it is impossible, but it is not impossible, because that Spirit of the Lord is so much greater. Blessing. A great blessing for these Samaritans and for the propagation of the Word of God. And yet, we have in Simon a great warning, a serious warning for the Church of God, the church of all ages, to show to us, young people, that all is not gold that glitters. Then Simon himself believed also. Do you believe? Do you believe? Can you say that? What kind of faith was that? Of Simon. Say, well, how can we know? Yeah, how can we know? How? What does the Lord say in his word? Can we know that? The Lord Jesus says that ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by what comes forth out of them. That plant has to bring forth fruits. And when you may see, when you may handle, you may taste of those fruits, then you know what that plant is. Sin, the sin of the heart, that is inward. That is secret. But it does not always remain secret, does it? No, it comes out. It is very difficult to keep inward sin from coming out. Can do that for a little while. But eventually a person reveals through his life, through his conversation, through his words, his doings, his actions, who he is. Others can see it. Others can know it. Simon reveals himself. How did he reveal himself? He reveals himself by his request. And what was that request? Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. That is his request. Say, is that so bad? Is that so revealing? Does that tell us something about what is living in the heart of Simon? The apostles have heard of the success of Philip in Samaria. The apostles come down to assist Philip in Samaria. The people are converted in Samaria. They are baptized. But they have not yet received that gift of the Holy Ghost. That gift of the Holy Ghost was received by laying on of hands of the apostles themselves. And so this is taking place by Peter and John, and Simon sees this, and he desires and he seeks this ability. Is that so bad? Congregation, it reveals something. It reveals that what has taken place in that heart, in that life of Simon, is not saving. You remember who Simon is? Bible says it here. Before time he used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. A great one. Not only just a great person, but even a divine one. A God. Thus he has exalted himself. He has sought the honor, the divine honors for himself. Oh, that is natural man, isn't it? That is man in his death state. He exalts himself. What does the Lord do? He abases a man. When he converts a man, he brings him low. You say, is there then no pride left in the heart of God's children? Oh, far too much. Far too much. But we find here in Simon that there is not the least change within his heart. What does he desire? He does not desire what these other Samaritans desired. He does not desire that the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He does not just ask with those other Samaritans that they may receive the Holy Ghost. No, he wants the power to do that himself. He wants to stand above Philip. Philip had not such a power. He had to wait for the coming of the apostles. And the apostles were given that power by whom? They were given that power by the Lord. Simon asked Peter to do something that he had no power to do. He had not given himself or John the power to do this. He had received it himself from the Lord. Oh, there is nothing changed. Nothing changed in Simon's heart. He only wants a change in the way he has been working. He wants to go from that sorcery and the witchcraft which he felt and knew in his own heart was only trickery and wickedness. Then he sees that there is some real power. He sees here is actually divine power. Give me this power. There are some that seek power in the world more than others. There are some that are not satisfied with anything in this world unless they get power. But where does power come from? That comes from the Lord. When men are given power over other men in this world, then they receive that all from the Lord Himself. And with that power comes great obligations, which men also very often forget. Why does Simon desire to have this power? What do we read? We read, he offers him money. He thinks that this gift is a gift to be bought and to be sold. He wants to have that gift. He wants to receive it for money, and then he will do something with it also. He will sell it too. Thus, he is going to make a profit in this world, the same as he has made a profit in this world before with his witchcraft, with his sorceries. That has been the practice of the Roman Catholic Church for many, many years. It is called simony. What is that? Simony. It is after this Simon the sorcerer. That is to make a profit with sacred things. That is to be able to sell or to buy ecclesiastical preferments to a certain office, to get a certain power in the church, a very wicked practice. As if that which is spiritual has some kind of an equal value to money. As if spiritual things may be placed on that same plane of value with earthly, carnal things. How do you buy something? Well, we say, you give me the money that it is worth. How shall you now put a price on these spiritual gifts? Or what does true faith see? Immediately, when a soul is born again, what does it see? When a man has sought after all the goods and the profits of this world for maybe 50, 70 years in his life, the Lord stops him. And then he sees something. He sees something so clear. It is all rubbish. It all has no value in comparison with those spiritual gifts. Oh, true faith. It sees no difference between a rich man and a poor man. None at all. True faith that is ready to leave father and mother. It is ready to forsake the world and every former friend. Oh, do you feel something? How that there is nothing changed in that heart of Simon? He offered them money, saying, give me this power. How deceitful is our heart. Deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, the sins of pride. sinful ambition were flourishing in that heart of Simon. At the same time as we read, he believed. And he was baptized. What do you think? Was he a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one who has two faces. Over here, he has one face, and with those persons, he has another face. Or maybe outwardly he has one face, inwardly it is something else. That is actually an actor. An actor is a hypocrite. Young people, that is why we do not belong watching movies, having anything to do, because it is all hypocrisy. The Lord, he says, we must be who we are. The Lord has made us who we are. And it is through this sin of hypocrisy that the wickedness of the devil is spread throughout this whole world. What do you think? Was Simon a hypocrite? Oh, it does not seem so. It doesn't seem that he was acting. It does not seem that he was any different on the inside than he was on the outside. But Simon seems to be sincere. And yet, he is deceiving himself. He is deceiving himself, sincere, but sincerely wrong. Peter tells him that. But we're going to sing first from Psalter 40, stanzas 3 through 6. The fear of the Lord is most clean. Forever unmoved it has stood. His judgments are perfectly true, in all things most righteous and good. 3 through 6 of Psalter 40.
Thank you.
But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. A solemn denunciation. Peter is honest with Simon. Are we honest with one another? Or can we just let one another go in a way of self-deceit as we travel to a great eternity? Thy money perish with thee. Did Peter desire that Simon would perish? Not at all. We see that in these further verses. But he denounced his sin, and he told him how it was going to be if he would continue on in his sin. He would perish. He would perish with his money, because he has sought money before that he has sought the honor of the Lord or any of the true blessings of the Lord. Simon cannot be saved with his baptism. We read Simon believed. Simon cannot be saved because he says that he believed. No, the apostle says that thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Your faith is not saving, and your baptism is nothing but a ceremony. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. What did he do wrong, boys and girls? He didn't do anything wrong. He thought wrong. Because thou hast thought. Thus we are responsible for our thoughts. We are accountable for our thoughts. That our thoughts are right thoughts. We were not created with wrong thoughts of who God was, or what his truth is. No, we were created with true thoughts and right thoughts about God and his doctrine. Thus, what is our ignorance? Our ignorance is our guilt. We are rightly punished because of our ignorance. We will rightly perish. Oh, how wretched is man in his unconverted state, who thinks God is who he is not, who thinks his truth is something that his truth is not. Bunyan writes about that in his Pilgrim's Progress. He speaks about his pilgrim, how that he begins to think right thoughts again when he is in that city of destruction, in his conversion. Then his family doesn't understand him anymore. But he begins to make right judgments. Judgments of spiritual things versus the carnal things. He says those carnal things are worth leaving all behind, that I may seek only the things that are spiritual. They are so far above in worth, in value. That is what life, that spiritual life, sees when it is from the Lord. The thoughts of Simon's heart, they are made manifest. Made manifest in his request, so Peter may know what is living in his heart. And Peter may make a judgment of his state. Why? Because our thoughts, they are proceeding from our disposition. And then it becomes evident, manifest, that he still has an evil disposition. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. No, Peter is not the final judge. Peter does not condemn him. Peter desires that he would be converted. But he says, your heart, Simon, that is now exposed by the fruits of your life. Peter is honest with him. You profess to believe, Simon. You say that you believe. But sin lieth at the door. You are baptized, Simon. But I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He speaks as Moses does about a root, a poison that is in the root. And when the poison is in the root, then it is corrupting that whole tree. I perceive that thou art in the bond of iniquity. What is that? That is an unregenerated state. A man is still bound with the love, the affections, the choice, bound unto what? Sin. Does that mean Simon is without hope? No. Peter does not condemn him. Peter desires his conversion. Honest speech. That is not hateful speech. It is the opposite. Peter desires that this man would be delivered. Peter desires that this man would not continue on in the deceit of his own heart. And therefore we see in our third thought, Peter gives him an earnest admonition. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Do you know what he calls it? Wickedness. Wickedness. It is wicked when our heart is not right in the sight of God. That is wickedness. Then our very thoughts are wickedness. Our life is wickedness. The disposition of our heart is wickedness. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that your whole life, your whole existence, the disposition of your heart, the thoughts of your mind, do you ever feel that? That it is nothing but wickedness. Because you say, my heart is not right in the sight of God. There is nothing in my nature that seeks God. The world, yes. The Lord, no. Oh, my very believing, my very baptism is sin. It is vanity. It is emptiness. And when the Lord converts a man, he renews his heart. And until he renews his heart, then even his very religion, his most holy duties, they are all sin. Repent. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. What does that mean, to repent? That is, to be sorry. Do not say just, I cannot help it. Do not say just, the Lord has to convert me. No, he says, repent. Repent of this thy wickedness, O. Did your sinful existence ever become wickedness in your sight? Something that you say, I need to repent of? There is an obligation not only to sit in the church that Simon did too. Not just to be baptized that Simon did too. Not just to say, I believe that Simon did too. There is an obligation upon those who are hearing that word to repent of the wickedness of our disposition, of the very thoughts of our heart. Peter did not say, well, Simon, I hope that the Lord will convert you. Then you are going to be sorry. Is that true? It is true. It is very true. And we certainly hope that same thing. The congregation, he lays a demand there. That is not from himself. That is from the Lord. That is something that every single one is commanded to do. Does not speak about ability of man. No, that has to be learned, that inability. It speaks about an obligation. It speaks about what the Lord requires of us. To repent. That means to turn from our wickedness, the wicked thoughts of our heart, that the thoughts of our mind would not be so wicked anymore. That they would know God as he is to be known, and that we might know his truth as it is his truth. You say, I cannot change my heart. That is true. But do you have any desire to do so? Are you sorry that your heart is so wicked? One tear. The Lord has given us everything. Opens the storehouses of heaven. Rain from the skies. Bring one tear. Because my heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Peter did not say to Simon, Simon, it is hopeless for you because your thoughts are so wicked. It is hopeless for you, Simon, because your heart is not right in that sight of God. No, he is honest with him. He tells him how that it is, and he urges Simon to be honest with yourself. To examine your own heart while it is day, that you do not continue to deceive your own heart. Why? Because you may still pray. Because you are in that land of the living, and there is no heart, Simon. There is no heart that is too wicked, too sinful to pray unto the Lord. Even a Simon heart. Oh, Peter says to Simon, Simon, your whole heart is wicked. Your whole heart is corrupt. Your religion is false. Your religion is vain. Your religion is corrupt. Your baptism that is only carnal. Your faith is wrong. Look how you have lived in your life. All your disease that is incurable. You have deceived other persons for so long a time. This whole city, how many people, they have died under your deceit. Could it be worse? And now, Simon, now you say you believe. Now you say you believe in Christ, and you're still wrong. Because that faith is wrong. And you deceive yourself. And now, Simon, you must repent of this. And you know what you may still do? You may still pray. Is that not a wonder? Such a man. Peter does not say it is hopeless for you. Peter has seen the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit has worked in that city that was under the spell of the devil. And Peter says to Simon, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Oh, our thoughts need to be forgiven. Our existence needs to be forgiven. Our baptism, our confession, our whole existence. That needs to be forgiven. The most holy duties. And they can be forgiven. And they may be forgiven. That entire sinful existence of man may be forgiven by God. It may be blotted out of the sight of that holy and righteous judge that is a consequence of the merits of his only begotten Son, of whom he has declared, I am well pleased in him. Human nature, body and soul, paid the price for such a people. To be forgiven the thoughts of our heart is more than to be forgiven the acts of our bodies. Did you ever desire to be forgiven? Maybe you said that sometimes, children, to your father and mother. I have not spoken right to you, mother. Father, will you forgive me? I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. Did you ever go on your knees with guilt for this or for that in your life? Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. When I have done this in my youth and that in my youth. And now the thoughts of our heart. The wickedness of our heart. The disposition. The whole tendency to sin. To walk in the world. To leave God in his place. Whole life, no longer serving the purpose for which I was made. Vain, carnal, dead. Pray God. Pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Why perhaps? Is that questionable? Is that what the Word of God says? Is that questionable? When a wretched and a poor sinner would draw nigh unto God through His only begotten Son in the way of repentance, and when He would say, Lord, wilt Thou forgive me? Is that questionable then? It is not questionable. No. That is the promise of the Lord. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There is no question. What is that about then, if perhaps? You know what is a question? Great question. Whether you will come there. Whether you will come on your knees. In the true guilt, that is a great question. From our side, it will not happen. It will happen when all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and then they shall be drawn. O congregation, if perhaps, is there now any desire in your heart that your sinful existence could be forgiven you? Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Simon is afraid. You ever afraid, children? Read the curses in the Word of God. The wrath of the Lord upon sin. Maybe you see the lightning sometime. You hear that thunder and you shake. The majesty of God. Simon is afraid. And then we do not read about Simon anymore. The old writers, they write about him. And we are not going to bring that out. Because we are not here to bring out the old writers. But the Word of God. And there are many awful things that are written about Simon. But on the other hand, Calvin writes that there are also many false rumors and that have been spread about him. And so, congregation, we leave that all alone. The Lord, He has not written it in His Word. We have enough now upon ourselves. Because the Lord has written this in His Word for us. And the Lord, He is taking forth in His Word the precious from the vile. Do you know what the Lord sees? He sees right through all our religion. Our baptism. Our confession. And He sees straight into our heart. And then He admonishes to repentance. And He invites unto prayer. All those whose heart is not right in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can put His hand in His bosom and take it out clean? Unless Thou wilt cleanse our heart and make it right before Thee, then it is wrong. O, give us a place at Thy footstool. Give us true examination of ourselves. for there is much faith in the world. But that true saving faith is the portion of thy remnant. O keep us from soft deception. Bring us safely to our places in this evening hour. And help each one in our place in this world in the week to come. Spare us from accident and danger, from a sudden and an unprepared death. O give thy word a place in our heart as we go over this world, even as in that day that thou didst give it a place in Samaria. Put away the deceptions of the prince of darkness. Give us true repentance and a true cry to thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 364. From out the depths I cry to thee. O let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. All stanzas of Psalter 364. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.